The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
At the Last Supper, when Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to you, to the Jews, now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. Lourdes was the professor when I was in graduate school for my master's in education. Her classes were the ones that everybody wanted to get into. We rearranged our schedules so that we could take as many classes with her as possible. And while we were all in school to learn how to be teachers, Lourdes did not focus on how to teach, but on who would be in our classrooms and what were the social justice issues that we would likely be facing. Her classes challenged everyone's thinking process, challenged what we thought was normal, what we expected, challenged why things were the way they were. She brought in guest speakers all the time, from gang members to transgendered families. This was the early 90s. Half of us didn't always know what she was talking about. We were encouraged to share our own stories and experiences of guns, violence, racism, sexism, classism. We were encouraged to share these stories and see where there was injustice, where it was obvious, and also where it was so subtle we had never even realized it before. Her courses challenged us to explain, if to no one else other than ourselves, why we believed what we believed. And then they challenged us about what we do, how we react when we encounter something that is different, difficult, outside our personal experience, whether in the classroom or, quite frankly, in life. She challenged us to think about what do we do when we are scared, frightened. What do we do when we end up with an us versus them mentality? Many, many years after I left the classroom, I was in fact working here, I was asked to be part of a feedback session at the graduate school to discuss our experience and where it has taken us, both those who stayed in teaching and those who went on to other vocations. And in this room of strangers, person after person after person spoke of their courses with Lourdes, about how she made them think, about how she challenged them, about how in her classes we were all forced into places of discomfort, and from that discomfort we actually grew. And as teachers, each and every one of us hoped that we brought that same challenge to our students, whether they were in kindergarten or seniors in high school. And as I sat around this table with other teachers or previous teachers, I wondered, why Lourdes? What was the magic recipe for her classroom? What made those classes so special, far and above the others? And you might blow it off and say, well, given the topics I listed, she had an agenda and they matched mine, and that's why I liked her. However, I can tell you, liberals, conservatives, males, females, black, white, Latino, and Anglos, each and every one of us was equally challenged, and yet we all equally loved her. Then it dawned on me, perhaps the most important thing we learned, we loved her classes because she never argued with any of us. She never said necessarily what we believed is wrong. She might have said unjust, but not wrong. But more important, Lourdes taught her classes by telling story, each and every class. She opened our minds and our hearts to stories that we would not have heard in most of us, our middle class experiences. She opened our minds to different ways of thinking and understanding our common humanity. I can recall many times walking out of the classroom discouraged and with pain in my heart, and it wasn't because my heart was heavy, although at times it was, but it was because my heart was being stretched to understand something far bigger than what I had known previously. The power of story, you see, is far more powerful than any argument that we can use to convince someone that we're right. And the best example of that in any of our lives is Jesus, who told story again and again and again. We call them parables. But Jesus told story to explain what were the most important lessons we were to learn. Story shapes each and every one of us into being who we are, and it explains why we act the way we do. And important stories are often repeated. Just think about the stories that you hear at family gatherings, right? The important ones are repeated. And the same is true in Acts today. The exact same story is told twice in a row, back to back. You see, Peter still believes the followers of Jesus are part of the greater Jewish community. And the Gentiles, well, they live over there. They're separate. They're different. They're unclean. They aren't like Peter. They eat different foods. They follow different rituals. And most of all, they definitely should not ever be associated with. And then Peter has a vision. And not just a vision, Peter has a conversion, in which God says there is no difference. There are no more barriers. There is no us and them. And immediately after the first time he sees this vision, there is a knock at the door, and Peter is called to a Gentile house, and he eats with those Gentiles, and he preaches to them, and he converts them, and he baptizes them. Awesome, right? Until he goes back to Jerusalem. Today's story. And Peter gets home and everybody's going, what are you doing hanging out with those people? You aren't going to bring them home for dinner, are you? Did you forget? They're unclean. They aren't our people. And Peter, who we often think doesn't learn his lessons very well, Peter, rather than trying to argue with them, tells them his story. He tells the story of his vision. He tells the story of the knock at the door that changed his life. He tells the story of his experience and the experience of the people with him. And in the telling of this story, the second time, all of these other followers in Jerusalem are also converted to accepting Gentiles, converted to the idea that other followers may not look like them, converted to expressing the love of God, converted to the fact that the message of the good news is big enough for everyone, no exceptions, who will listen. The good news is meant for those whose lives are like ours and whose lives are nothing like ours. The good news is meant for those who work for the opposing team. In this moment in Scripture, this is a huge moment. It changes everything the disciples have been doing, because now their message is for everyone, and it changes nothing the disciples have been doing, because the message is exactly the same. Spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we personally learn how conversion happens through story. You see, each and every one of us, we all have a story. And that's what Jesus recognizes in each of us. In fact, that's what Jesus loves in each of us and calls us to love in one another. The individual stories of our humanity. And let me be clear, our stories are never Leave It to Beaver perfect. They just aren't. The stories of our lives are messy. The stories of our lives sometimes come with a side of shame or embarrassment or hubris. The stories of our lives often float on a cloud of hope. But most of all, the stories of our lives show that each and every one of us longs for connection. We long for acceptance. And we long for love. And that's what, in my very secular education in Claremont, that's what Lourdes was teaching us. Lourdes was teaching us that we all have a story, and whatever it may be, that story is sacred and it is ours, and it never stops us from being God's beloved, ever. Story, not argument, is what converts our hearts to find the humanity in those with whom we disagree, in those who we find offensive, and of those who make us fearful of change. And in case you disagree with me, I find that we should turn to the gospel, because you see, today, Judas has just walked out of the room. He has just left the room to go turn Jesus over to the authorities. And Jesus gives us the example, in case we missed it, the 8,000 other times he was talking. Jesus doesn't spend his breath talking about how awful Judas is. Jesus doesn't set out to convince the disciples that Judas is a louse. No. You see, Jesus knows even Judas's story. Jesus knows that Judas is doing the best he can which isn't great, but he's still beloved. Jesus does not spend his time trash-talking. No, rather, Jesus immediately turns and instructs them to love one another. Love one another enough to listen to each other's story. Love one another to see the truth that is different from what is in us, that is different from what we think it should be. Jesus reminds us to love one another in God's expansive way, to talk about our fear, to live into our hope, and to listen to one another's story so that we can share the very love of God. Amen.